August on the porch. Just my father and myself now in this quiet house. The funeral is over. There was no burial. The lawyers filed whatever papers needed attending. I couldn't go back to New York where I lived, for I couldn't leave Daddy alone. Also, I didn't know how to re-enter a life which had ceased to resemble the life that had existed only the month before. Mother's clothes still hung darkly in her closet, though neither Daddy nor I approached the task of cleaning it out. For me, the room became impenetrable. To walk in there, touch each dress, remove her shoes, softly fold each silken scarf would mean acknowledging she was gone. A few weeks had passed, each day moving as if we were the tortoises we watched cross over our road each spring, tediously making headway one step at a time. Yet how many days had vanished already? 20? 25? How far away was the other side of the road we were now on? The house seemed so expansive and empty, as if the real air we needed to breathe had been sucked out by the continuous churning of the cooling air conditioning. Though it was a record-breaking hot August, I chose to spend my time on our screened-in porch, where a mat, the color of summer limes, enticingly labeled indoor-outdoor carpeting, covered the cool-to-the-touch flagstone and strangely tricked the brain into believing you'd stepped onto a lush, manicured fairway. I claimed the wrought iron chaise, covered in a far too cheerful blue hydrangea fabric. Bringing my bowl of cornflakes and banana out in the mornings, legs crossed Indian style, I'd leaf through the New York Times, though I couldn't care less what might be happening in the larger landscape than the porch. My province had shrunk to this 12-by-14 room, and I was content that way. I wanted it no larger. In mid-morning, Daddy would wander out after finishing his crossword puzzle. "Are you going for a swim?" he'd ask. "Maybe in a little while. Are you?" And no, there didn't seem to be anything else to say to one another. After staring out into the yard, his eyes would scan the length of the pool before he turned to go back indoors. This was my father's pool. Bathed in the pale blue of a summer's sky, he'd fussed with it as if there was an alliance, as if he and the pool had a spiritual connection. He offered it dutiful care. It responded with its soothing beckoning of pure indulgence. When I was a child during hot summer months, I'd hear him from my bedroom window, his backstrokes and his crawl, and then his attentive raking the depths and the surface quietly in the dark before he'd sleep. But there were no such sounds these past few weeks. Stretched out on the chaise after my breakfast, slowly running my finger around the leaves crafted in wrought iron, I felt how this room was filled with my mother's life. A magazine did a piece on outdoor living a few years earlier, and our porch, our pool, our terrace were featured. "I think of it as casual elegance," my mother had been quoted as saying. The porch was casual, but like my mother, it had its softer edge of elegance. A table for proper dining, two comfy chairs outfitted in a smart Southampton ticking, ottomans at their feet, a small refrigerator tucked by mother's decorator eye was within some potted plants. Oh, you'd never know it was there. A baker's rack lined the solid wall, and on one shelf, a chalk cherub bust, mother's straw sun hat, various books and magazines, no doubt House Beautiful, among them. And an unobtrusive television fits snugly on another shelf. Always have one object, no matter the decor, with an Asian inspiration, she'd insisted. And in one corner, a sunny yellow and blue porcelain Indian elephant stand. On that Asian-inspired element, there rested a French telephone, for some reason more fun to speak into than other telephones. No, there was no need to ever leave the porch. Mother had made it into a living room in the warm months of New Jersey. The phone would ring, though now I'd rarely pick it up. If I did, I'd instantly regret it. Oh, no, fine. No, nothing you can bring us. Yes, I know you loved her too. I understand it's difficult for you. I promise we'll get together. Please don't worry about us. Such lies. How do you think we are? And I don't feel like consoling you right now. We want to be alone, would have been the truth. The heat eventually found its way to the porch by late morning. The flagstones on the outer edges sweating by noon, the air still, the newspaper ink staining my hands. I'd moved to the pool. Daddy, who'd once tried out for the Billy Rose Aqua Show, had taught me how to dive. 1, 2, 3 steps, a light bounce of the board, arms up, thumbs together, a stronger bounce now. I do it over and over this August. I head to the sky, arc up, jackknife down, toes pointed, my hands would part the water with the smallest of splash as I reached down to touch the bottom. 1, 2, 3, like a programmed Barbie doll. No thinking, no decisions, for there didn't seem to be anything else to do. By early afternoon, the sun's hottest rays had shifted away from the porch, mellowing it into shade for the rest of the day. After my swim, standing inside the door, the cool slate of the flagstone seeped up my legs. Oppressive heat, cooling water, parched grass, the smooth slate, acting in disparity to each other, seemed as confusing as the summer of turbulence. Nothing made sense except the shock to my physical senses. Napping on the porch in those afternoons came easily. I'd sleep on the chaise with the sadness of a lost child, not waking until the birds chirped for their dinner. Daddy slept too in the afternoons, something I'd never seen him do before. He kept their room dark now, drapes drawn, never truly making the bed, only tucking the blanket up over the pillows. Certainly not Mother's way, with her eye on design, her thoughtful placement of all things decorative. I didn't like walking in there anymore. With the AC always running and no breezes of fresh air, this room took on a dank odor like that of an old person's, one where someone might be slowly dying. Evening appeared as a fine gray veil hovering over the humidity. First another swim in hopes of shedding the nightmares of my nap before lighting the grill. I'd gotten rid of the many frozen casseroles dropped off in the preceding days after Mother died. These tin-foiled covered meals, the freezer robbing them of color, were reminders of how helpless we appeared. Now, empty Corningware bowls with their happy blue flowers and cheerful fruit decals spoke to this loss, which coherently can never be expressed. Together, Daddy and I ate dinner on the porch. The television is background noise. Someone had to say something, so we let it be Walter Cronkite. Corn and tomatoes, tomatoes and corn, night after night, week after week, our own personal comfort food. Then back to the chaise to be dulled by whatever channel happened to be on, and the cricket's songs carried on throughout the night. August came to a close, bringing a relief from the heat. Every day, I ached for explanations which might give some sense to this death. They only appeared as abstracts, though, vanishing as quickly as the puffs of a dandelion in a quick breeze. A friend of Mother's, not a stranger herself to suicide, told me back on that awful July evening, "Don't question why. There's only one person who truly knows, and they're not here to explain it to us." Barely good enough to explain, but it was all I had. The house is gone now. When sunny days arrive, someone else shifts life to the porch, the flagstones, maybe a chaise, enjoying the breeze. never realizing all the pleasure and then the relentless pain which once took place in that peaceful room. Curled up on my chaise along with my sorrow, even if I couldn't quite grasp it yet, those long August days gave me the time to see that my future did lie outside those mesh screens. It hadn't occurred to me yet that I needed to start from the beginning. It would take years to understand that sometimes you don't get answers. As each new summer begins, I'm always reminded that this is the hardest part.